Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we'll read from verse 8 to 11. Let's go. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which he had created and made. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. In your word there is life, there is light, and there is power. Thank you for your glory and your goodness that is present with us this morning. We reverence you. We thank you. Hallelujah. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Unveil the mystery of your word and come through for everyone under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have your seats. God is a good God, isn't he? Tell someone that God is a good God. Amen. We have been looking at a series, Water, Blood, Oil, and Bread. And we have established that when God wants to come through for you with bread, bread means the provision of God, the things that we physically want from God, he starts out by giving us water. He starts out by giving us water. If we receive that water, the next thing he sheds upon us is the blood of his son Jesus. And then the third thing he does is to anoint us with oil, fresh oil. And when he has anointed us with oil, and we start to function in that oil, then we are ready for provision. We're ready for bread. And then we receive bread. And we have looked at the first time that God began to set up a government for his people, prepare them to go and possess the promised land. When he had delivered them out of Egypt, the Bible says that he told Moses in Exodus chapter 19 to wash the children of Israel, to sanctify them, wash them with water. They washed their clothes for 3 days. That is the essence of sanctification, because he was going to speak to them. He was going to give them the spiritual relevance of water. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 that he gave 10 commandments. 10 commandments, which are a compressed version of over 600 laws that he gave to Moses. The 10 commandments are just a short version of the 600 commandments. And so each commandment keys us into a whole world of instructions that was supposed to bring us ultimately to the place of bread, the place of provision, where our needs are met, where God establishes us. Then we have learnt the first commandment, thou shalt have no other God besides me. And what God intended by that commandment is to have his people choose his inspiration only, and not to receive inspiration from any other source but from him. The second commandment, thou shalt make no graven images. It meant that you shall not misrepresent God in any way. When we misrepresent God, we defy the purpose of his word. And so he says, you shall not liken me unto a cow or unto a goat, unto an elephant. Don't misrepresent me. The third commandment said, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Hallelujah. Now, God unveiled the fullness of his name in Jesus. And in Philippians chapter 2, we see how that the name of God that has been given to us, the name Jesus, is the name above all names. And so for us to find our place of power, our place of might, then we have to plug into that name and give that name the reverence that it deserves in our hearts. We don't mess with the name Jesus. We don't mess with the name of God. And, excuse me. I have been trapped between the name and the fourth commandment, which says that you shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, we know that in the Old Testament, first of all, for 2,500 years since creation, God did not demand anybody to observe the Sabbath until he was ready to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. That was when he gave Moses the commandment of the Sabbath, even though he himself, all by himself, hath observed the Sabbath from the creation of the world. Let me say that again. The Bible says for 6 days God created, and then on the seventh day he rested. Amen. He rested from all the works that he had done. And the scripture says he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Say with me, he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. So every week, God came into the seventh day, blessed it, and sanctified it. Let me explain the meaning of the word blessed. Blessed, or to bless, means to proclaim words. To proclaim words that activate, good things. To proclaim words that activate good things. That's a blessing. And so every seventh day, God will show up and he will make proclamations. He will say words that activate good things for mankind. And then the Bible says he's sanctified. The word sanctification means to wash as with water. After we have closed at the end of today, I just want to ask an honest question. Don't be embarrassed, but I just want to ask an honest question. How many of you may not go to bed tonight until you've taken a shower? I won't go to bed tonight, most probably, except the water fails, without taking a shower. Because after all this heat, you're going to feel sticky. As if something has stuck itself to you. And if you're like some of us, you'll just be tossing and turning through the whole night. So you might as well advise yourself after dressing, making your bed, to first go and take a what? A shower. To remove all that will prevent you from having a peaceful night rest. God says, every 7 days I come with water to wash your spirit of all the stuff that demons have tried to put upon you. That's what sanctification means, to give your spirit a bath, to bathe your spirit every week. How many of you know that there are demons all over the place? There are also angels. There are good things and there are bad things. I want you to remember the first action of God, the first work of creation. The Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And when God will start creating, he said, let's go. Let there be light. Let there be light. But the Bible says that he formed light, but also allowed darkness. So he gave a framework for light, which he called day, and a framework for darkness, which he also called night. And together he called it the first day. Let me read it from the scriptures. Some of you are scratching your heads. Genesis chapter 1. All right, this is the beginning. Verse 3 to 5. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. All right, so we associate light with good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So notice that God gave space for the light that was good. But he also did not completely wipe out evil, because he allowed a place for darkness, which he called night. Some people always ask that question. So if God is God and he's good and he exists, why does he allow certain things to happen? How many of you have heard that question? Yeah. Some of us have even asked that question ourselves. Why does God allow? Why did God allow that accident to happen? Why did God allow that person to be sick? You know, why did God allow this marriage to fail? Why did God allow this to happen to my child? We always ask questions, and there are a lot of people who couldn't find an answer and stopped going to church. Why did God allow? They're bitter with God. But you must understand that God allowed darkness to exist as a part of his divine design. Every day, so long as there is light, there is also darkness. The Bible tells us that in the millennium, when Christ comes, and with a sequence of eschatology, at a point, Satan is going to be jailed for 1,000 years. When we look at the New Jerusalem, it's designed so that there is light always. Hallelujah. But in this framework, God allowed darkness to exist even though he produced light. So within the framework of every day, which is 24 hours, we have a season of light and a season of darkness. But God is still good. Every 7 days, he comes with a blessing, a word that will wash us of all the stuff that them witches, them clairvoyants, them diviners who operate in the night, all the stuff that the demons and devils of hell can ever put on you. God says, Sunday, he says, the Sabbath day is the day that I come and give you a shower. I'm going to wash you. I'm going to wash you every day. I mean, every week I will come through for you. Every week. Every week. Every week. Every week. Every week. Now, there is that other question in our minds. If the Sabbath day was a seventh day, how come we come to church on Sunday? Now, if you read the account of the resurrection of Jesus, the last chapter in the book of Matthew, the last chapter, that is Matthew 28, the last chapter of the book of Mark, that's Mark 16, the last chapter of the book of Luke, John chapter 20, these four gospels are called the synoptic gospels. That means that they all give an account of the life and death of Jesus. Now, they all record that Jesus resurrected on Sunday. Now, this is the wisdom by which the church, when it was born on the day of Pentecost, they began to gather on the first day of the week. Now, in the sequence of creation, the Bible says that God finished his work and rested on the seventh day. But Christ, who came to redeem us, finished our work of redemption on the first day. God finished the work of creation after 6 days, rested on the seventh day. But Christ finished our work of redemption on the first day. He rose from the dead. So the apostles began to wait on God on the first day of the week. But this is also very important. The Sabbath day revelation, just like all the other 10 commandments, are keys. They are keys into a whole world of revelation about the Sabbath. A whole world of revelation about how God comes to bless us. How God comes to bless us in order to break cycles of evil. How God comes to bless us in order to break the cycles of evil. So, 6 days he worked, the seventh day he rested. He came to bless and sanctify. He came on the seventh day to break a cycle of evil. Say with me, God comes through on the Sabbath to break a cycle of evil. Now, there are many Sabbaths that God instructed the children of Israel to observe. We had the weekly Sabbath. And then we had the annual Sabbaths. The annual Sabbaths included the Passover, the first fruits, which we call resurrection. It included Pentecost, the day when the church was born. It also includes the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement and Tabernacles. You are busy writing. Forget about what's on the screen. Please go to the next screen. And please stop writing. You listen. If you get me, You might be able to even make notes from your head. Amen. Go to the next slide. Yeah. All right. So we had the annual Sabbaths. Then we also had the seventh year Sabbath. And then we also had the 50th year Sabbath. A whole year. Right? I'll get into it in a bit. So there were various Sabbaths, but God only mentioned one in the Ten Commandments, just because the Ten Commandments was a compressed version of the over 600 laws. So that should prick your conscience that what is the meaning of rest? Right? We must have that consciousness that in the cycle of God's works, He breaks the cycle of work. He breaks the cycle of our own works so He can come through. So let's talk about the first Sabbath. The first Sabbath is the seventh day Sabbath. The purpose is to break the cycle of struggle. To break the cycle of what? Hey, Marsh, there's another one on your screen. It has the fourth. To break the cycle of what? Struggle. God worked for Syria. And when a demon comes to attach himself to you, it's not to give you fun. It's to give you pain. It's to afflict you. It's to put you in bondage. Are you listening to me? It's to bring you into bondage. But we thank God that after we have received the word, we don't only repent, but we get into prayer. And when we pray, the precious blood of Jesus comes through and breaks the bondage, the attachment of demons to our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Breaks the attachment. Breaks the yoke. But the Sabbath in particular, every week, God wants our spirit to be washed of every reason for demonic oppression. Every reason for demonic oppression, we get washed. Now, we have diminished the power of the Sabbath or the value of the Sabbath, just like in Old Testament days. They started practicing the Sabbath, but they missed the essence of the Sabbath because the enemy has a way of getting human beings to think that the commandments of God are supposed to get us to be loyal to God and to benefit God in some way. In every culture, even those who never knew God properly, there is just this natural fear of what gods can do to a human being. So even those who didn't know God in the Jewish way or who didn't know Almighty God found a way to attach some loyalty to either some stone or some mountain or some tree or the sun or the stars or something. there is that natural inhibition between, I mean, within every human being of a judgment of a God somewhere. And Satan, his business has always been to get man to think that God has an agenda. And that God's intention is to enslave us through worship. So human beings who feel they are enlightened are like, I'm not going to become the stooge of any God. I don't need any God. So over the period of time, the Jews, the Israelites, began to feel that, oh, this Sabbath rule is just to please God. If we can just please him, then he will get off our back. If we can please him, he will get off our back. But very sad that it got to the point in Isaiah chapter 1 where God says, you know what? Don't even bother to seek me on the Sabbath. Don't seek me during the feast, because I cannot stand your hypocrisy. It's as if you're doing something for me. But I want you to know that God does not need us to worship him. He does not need it. He told the Israelites, the cattle upon the thousands here belong to me. If I needed animal sacrifices, I'll go and take it myself. I don't need that. He says, come unto me and reason with me. Let's talk about you. It's all about you. Oh, we have a saying, it's all about him. It's all about us. You see, when you start to say it's all about him, you get yourself into a hypocritical standpoint where, you know, if I'm coming to church because of, really, really, because of Pastor Alice, I'm going to dress to please her. I'm going to do everything to please her. But I wanted to understand what it means. God is not looking for how we will please him. He is looking for how we will glorify him. That means we will manifest his glory. It's two different things. It's one thing for me to come to church because of Pastor Alice, so that she will mark me in the register that I'm a good Christian. I'm religious. I'm faithful. It's another thing for Pastor Al to want me to come to church because she has something that she wants me to have. Ooh, she wants me to become like her, so that the reason why she created me, the reason why I come to church, will not be in vain. God is looking for us not to please him, but to come into his pleasure. Did you get that? God is looking for us not because he wants us to please him. First, you just breathe on all of us here and we are dead. Case closed. Finito. If we don't please him, he'll just slaughter all of us with one word. But he wants us to come into his pleasure. You know, it's like all of us for our kids. If your motives are right, you don't give birth to kids because you want them to look after you. If your motives are right, you want them to have so much resources to become greater than you, to have money in the bank if they want to start a business, to have more than enough if your motives are right and clean. You know, some people have children and their motives are totally perverted. And I want someone to take care of me in my old age. I don't want to live in a home. So I'm going to have 6 children. If A doesn't do it, B will. If B doesn't do it, C will. If C doesn't do it, D will. If D doesn't, E will. No. People have perverted purposes. Some people try to live their lives through their children. It is perversion. You know, sometimes it gets so bad. We pastors want you to come to church for our own good. Are you listening to me? We like the chairs filled up. We would like to have enough offerings to pay the church's bills. For all the humanistic and self-centered reasons, there are times when pastors, ministers preach messages to a certain end. We want you to be faithful to God. We want you to be loyal. It happens. And so we are tied up in our minds, and we don't want to invoke the wrath and the judgment of God, because we've been taught that God will destroy us if we don't worship Him. So in our little mind, we come to church with that notion, with that desire, with that agenda, that let me go to church lest I invoke the wrath of God. Let me go to church so I don't fall sick. Let me go to church so I don't lose my job. Let me go to church so that I don't lose my sleep. Some of us, sheer guilt make us come to church. Guilt. That was the way that the Israelite community had become, even in the day of Jesus. It was a religious ritual. And today, a lot of us who come to church come as a result because it's a religious ritual. That was not the purpose of the Sabbath. You know what a ritual is? A ritual is just a practice. It's just a practice. Sometimes you get. Excuse me. It's something you do to appease you, to make you feel that you're in the good books of God. Please, God has no time for that game. Amen. Do you know how many people go to church? If you don't go to church, what's that going to affect God? There are many people who don't go to church who don't have any issues either. God is not about your coming to church. That is the work of preachers. We put that into you. That you have to come to church so God don't punish you. You got to come to church. And when you lose your job and you've not been coming to church, how many times do you come to church in a month? Commitment! That is the key. That's all religious. You know, the Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, beware of those who have a form of godliness but deny the power there. The reason for the Sabbath is divine encounter. Say with me, divine encounter. Divine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Divine what? Encounter. The reason God comes every week is to break a cycle of evil in your life. Break a cycle of struggle. A divine what? Encounter. I'll send you a word and it will heal your diseases. It will deliver you from your struggles, from your infirmities, in the very areas where the enemy has magnetized himself or attached himself to your life to oppress you. I came to break the trial of struggle. I come to end at least one struggle in your life. You know, as I meditate on this series, and I see myself, and I see areas of my life where I am twisted, and I ask myself, how did this happen? That I've been serving God all these years, yet I was twisted in this area. The question is, did God make a mistake? Did God miss those areas of my life? No, God didn't miss it. I missed it. I missed God. I missed God when I came to church as a religious ritual. I missed God when I came because it was Sunday. I missed God when I came for the sake of coming. When I came because I was a pastor. I will not have missed God if I always thought of it as a divine encounter. When you think of it as a divine encounter, there is a way you come. There is a way you come. I'm going to meet with God. He is going to break off a yoke off my neck. He is going to break a shackle off my leg. Can you imagine? Week after week, today this gone, tomorrow that gone, tomorrow this gone, tomorrow that gone. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. The resemblance of Satan begins to disappear. Every way in which the devil gets me to conform to his nature so that he can oppress me illegally. Oh, the washing of the power of the word, the sanctifying power of the word of God will not miss any area of your life where you are under oppression. The Son comes to set us free. It's a divine encounter. It's an experience. You cannot contact God and go back the same. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot. You see, in John chapter 5, when you get home reading, the Bible talks about a story of a man who was lame for 38 years. Say with me, 38 years. Let's look at it. 38 years. 38 years. And there was a pool in Jerusalem called Bethesda. And the Bible says, let me just read it. John chapter 5. After these, from verse 1, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of important folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Give me a second. I lost my page. Give me a second. All right. Verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The important man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the what? Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is. is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then they asked him, what man is it that said to thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away in a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing happen unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Here we go. The Bible says it was a feast. Say with me, it was a feast. A feast is a season for divine encounter. Say with me, a feast is a season for divine encounter. The Bible says it was a feast, and Jesus came to the feast. Every Sunday, Jesus comes to this feast called the Sabbath. Are you hearing me? And when he came, he saw a man who had been in a condition for 38 years, being lame. And he asked the man, what do you want? He says, there is an angel that troubles this water at a particular time, in a particular season. It was a season of divine encounter. God comes with his angels and stirs the water. This morning the water is being stirred for somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the man said, before I jump in, someone always steps in ahead of me. The first person. What is chief on your heart this morning? What is chief on your heart when you come into the Sabbath? The first person. You know the problem Jesus had with the church, with one of the churches in Revelation, the last church. I believe, is it the Laodicean church? He said, my problem with you is that you have lost your first love. Your first love. I am not the reason for your worship. I am not the reason for your Sabbath. I am not the reason. That's the problem I have with you. That's the only issue I have with you. How can you not have me at the forefront of your heart? The Bible says the first person to enter the pool, the first person to step in. There are times when I've come and God has changed my message right as I was going to start to preach. And sometimes some people come to me at the end of the service and say, Pastor, this message, I know that God made you change this message because of me. Because you spoke into my situation. It is as if you knew my problem from beginning to end. The word was addressed to me. I know, because he was first on the front line of your heart. Matushteke, you jumped in first. You jumped in first. Jesus says, today is your day of visitation. It is not an angel that has come to touch you. It is myself. It is myself. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Rise up. Carry your bed. And walk. 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 Overcome your situation. Overcome the lameness. I break your cycle. I break your cycle. I destroy your yoke. I destroy your burden. Rise up. Take up your bed and walk. Take up your bed and walk. Carry your limitation. Overcome. Break through. Break forth. Are you listening to me? Then the man took his bed and started walking.
Hallelujah. He started what? Walking. He started walking. And the Jews saw him. They said, man, how come you're carrying this bed and walking? And he said, the person by whom I am walking also said, carry. It was part of the package. It was part of the deal. Carry and walk. Carry and walk. You know, this man had been there for 38 years. You know what it means, 38 years? A long time. 4 decades. These Pharisees, these Jews, were not 1 second happy for this man. They weren't looking at his legs. They were looking at the bed. He is violating their religious ritual. That's what they are concerned about. Religious people, people who don't have God, are very, very interested in you remaining in your condition. If you have a job, you won't come to church. If you marry, you will be on vacation. Are you hearing me? No. I want to be just very open. For God's word to come through, Jesus said, don't ask, not yeast to it. Don't preach it in a compromised way. It cuts both ways. God cut me to cut you. And he has to cut you to cut the devil. So it must come pure. So God says, they came, they said, he has violated the word. The Sabbath. Who did this? And he says, the one. He says, go and look for him. So when he knew it was Jesus, he went to tell them. The Bible says, they started to seek a way to kill him. They started to persecute Jesus. How can you miss God on the Sabbath? Because you don't have the revelation of what the Sabbath is. When you don't have a revelation of what this morning means, today is the day and the beginning of somebody's eternal breakthrough. While someone else may still remain trapped for another 38 years. Today. Today. Today, 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 says if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. In Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says there's a rest for God's people. There is a what? A rest. A rest. Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1 to 12, he says, there remaineth yet a rest for God's people. There remaineth a rest. God wants to end the cycle of your struggles. Today. For his word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A shift in the heart. A shift. Say with me, water. A shift. So you can sleep at night. A shift in your thoughts. The That's what the word of God does. A shift. A shift. A shift. A shift. A shift. A shift. Tell somebody, excuse me. It's time for my divine encounter. It starts with a shift. Let the word cut me. That's why I find it very funny when people say the preacher preached me. So I'm leaving the church. Pastor preached me. You are ignorant. For me, pastor preached me every Sunday. Cut me where it hurts. Preach me from head to toe. Shatalabale. It's a double-edged sword. Before you can cut the devil, it must first cut you. One side must first what? Cut you. When you are cut, when you have a virus, go to the... Those of you who are medical specialists, I'm not telling a lie. You don't inject vitamins. The promise of good health into someone who has just been bitten by a snake. You first have to bleed them. Cut them. Let the poison ooze out. When somebody is hurt and infected with tetanus, you gotta clean out the poison before you apply ampicillin. You want a miracle today, you need to be cut today. Are you listening to me? You want a struggle to end. If I tell you to write your prayer request this morning, some of you are going to write 40 problems, some of you 100, some of you ask for more paper, more paper, more paper, because it's complicated. But I want you to know that we are a work in progress. If every Sunday, there are about 50 something Sundays in a year, if every Sunday, one of it, I get cut, it means I will be healed here. If I get cut there, I will be healed there. If I get cut at the knee, I'll be healed there. One by one. Cut me, pastor. Don't hold back. Preach my arrogance. Preach my wickedness. Preach. Preach. Preach the lackadaisical way in which I walked into church. Preach. Preach. Preach my attitude. Cut me where it hurts. Rise up on your feet. Cut me. 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 Cut me where it hurts. Cut me where I'm bound. Cut me. Are you hearing me? Cut me. Cut me. I have come for an encounter. Let God do a surgery in me. I have come for a divine encounter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every Sabbath, there is something God comes to do. At the Passover, He comes to redeem us. He comes to bring us deliverance from bondage. The seventh year Sabbath, He comes to break the cycle of debt. Every 6 years, He says, for one whole year, which is the seventh year, don't do nothing. I'll be talking to you for 1 year. For some people, not to go to work one day is a taboo. How much dollars I'm going to lose? Time and a half. Hey, Me not gonna let this one go. No. Then one whole year, you are not working. In the name of the release. That doesn't add up to our minds. But God says, after every 6 years, for one whole year, you sit down at home. Start to deal with issues of indebtedness. Not because you are working, but because you are trusting me. For 1 year, I'm pouring a new anointing upon your life. 1 year. To break a cycle of debt. This is almost a message you cannot teach in America, because it will not work. People's mind will not accept it. They'll stop your church. It will be you alone waiting on God. But from where I come from, I know of people who never worked for years, yet they ate, they drank, and they lived a good life. And the strange thing is that people from places like Africa and so-called third world nations who have that privilege are yearning to become like Americans. Are yearning to come to America and get part of the so-called American dream, until you are trapped and then you realize that, hey, how did I get here? Now you don't have a life. You can't even take a break. You can't even take one day off. Yet you are saddled with debt. Without being extravagant, you are bound. And God says, I have an anointing that breaks debt. He says, I have an anointing and I have a grace that will release you from disinheritance. As much as people buy homes, on the same level people lose homes. As one person is entering into a house, another person's house is under foreclosure. As you go to the dealership to buy a car, another person's car is being repossessed. You laugh today, you cry tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands on the keyboard. Thank you. And I'm desperate. I'm desperate for you.
Without you.
Are you really hungry for him this morning?
And I'm
desperate for you, Lord.
I'm desperate for you.
And I without you,
I'm lost without you.
Now lift your hands into heaven. I'm gonna pray a prayer today. The essence of the message is that a divine encounter is why God instituted the Sabbath. A divine encounter. Can we make it a divine encounter one more time? Can we make the Sabbath a divine encounter? Can we make God welcome? When there is hunger and thirst for righteousness, God says, I will feel it. I will feel your hunger. I will feel your hungry bellies. It is high time we stop coming to church to mark a register. God is not interested in whether we come or not. He wants to bless you. He wants to change your circumstance. He wants to break the cycle of struggle. He wants to break the yoke of bondage. He wants an opportunity to break the cycle of debt. He wants an opportunity to break and end this inheritance. He wants you to enter into a state of jubilation, to enter into your own jubilee, to start to experience the glory of God, the goodness of God, so people will say, see what the Lord has done in your life. That your life will be a testimonial. Sometimes we listen to too many things and miss God in the process. I've come to meet with God. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you.
Without you,
Father, in Jesus' name, every man, every woman under the sound of my voice, even as they have heard, even as they believe, so let it be unto us. Let the struggle, let the religiosity and the ritualism of coming to church that prevents a manifestation of a divine encounter, let it end today. Let it end today. Let every struggle associated with hypocrisy, every struggle associated with religiosity, let it be broken. Let every bondage be broken by the precious blood of the Lamb. Anoint your people with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. And in every area where we lacked, let there be provision. Let there be provision. Let there be provision. Let there be provision. Let there be bread. Let there be manifestations. Give the Lord a clap offering. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have we been blessed? Come on.